From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns continues the opening message of an extensive series of studies in the book of Joshua. Under God, Moses had brought the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt, led them through 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, and brought them at last to the borders of the Promised Land. Because of an act of disobedience, Moses had forfeited the privilege of entering Canaan and died on its borders. Now it fell to Joshua to lead the people into the land and to take it by conquest. From this historical account, Dr. Cairns is extracting vital lessons for present-day believers in facing the spiritual battles that accompany the Christian life. As commander of the host of Israel, Joshua needed to be prepared, spiritually as well as militarily, for the battles that lay ahead. In the opening chapter of the book, God provided him with the inspiration he needed and instructed him to remember a number of important truths. These are things that every Christian must keep before him in his personal fight of faith. First of all, Joshua was to remember who it was that had commissioned him for the fight. Then he was to maintain his focus on both the immediate and the ultimate objectives. He was to remember that the source of his power was having the presence of God, and the standard for all his actions was the Word of God. This opening message of the series is entitled, A Vision of Victory and How to Attain It. Before continuing the message, Dr. Cairns takes a few minutes to explain what it means to be justified by faith in Christ.
I'm sure you've noticed how well-known words become perverted. I suppose the most famous example in modern English is the word gay. When I was a young man, that was a description of people who were happy and who lived life to the full, and they were certainly people that you were glad to be around. They were a smiling, happy people. However, the word gay nowadays has been perverted to describe perhaps the unhappiest segment of our society, as one leading so-called gay person, a journalist, said when he gave up that lifestyle and professed faith in Christ. He said that he chose life rather than death because that lifestyle was a lifestyle of death. So words become perverted. The same is true of the word Christian. People have many ideas as to what a Christian is. The Bible has one clear teaching as to what a Christian is. When you talk about salvation, people think it merely means getting religion, going to church, or being good living. But what is salvation? What is it to be a Christian? To be a Christian is to be saved. And the most important biblical word, perhaps, for the experience of salvation in this life and in the life to come, indeed, is justification, the removal of all sin's guilt, the complete pardon for all sin, and the gift of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, so that the filth of sin is stripped away, and all that Christ, by his life and by his death, merited from God, freely given to us. Justification is a very, very important word in the doctrine of salvation. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking in these days about my booklet, A New Beginning. Part of that booklet deals with justification, deals with a lot of other things. And I trust that you'll make sure to be in contact, either by email, by letter, or by telephone, to ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and I trust you'll soon, if you can't already say, you'll soon be able to say, thank God, I have been freely justified.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We continue to receive encouraging response to these broadcasts. We want you to know that we're very grateful to those of you who take the time to contact us. Among the various publications which we offer on these programs, the most popular is the quarterly Let the Bible Speak magazine. In the next issue, Dr. Michael Barrett, president of Geneva Reformed Seminary, presents a series of articles in observance of the 400th anniversary of the Authorized Version of the Bible. Also, there'll be a mission focus on the country of Bulgaria, as well as Any Day Soon by Jill Saunders, drawing vital lessons from a young Christian girl's battle with cancer. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why does God allow suffering? What is the unpardonable sin? and how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
I think of young men of great talent, great skill, great promise. By one misstep, they sell it all. They sell it all. By the lust and the wickedness and the sin and the uncleanness, the immorality, they sell it all. Many a Christian's doing the same thing, taking the immediate and letting it rule the ultimate. But then there's another way in which they do it. They sell the ultimate by taking the immediate so seriously. They take every little minor thing and they build it up into a major thing. There are no mountains and no molehills. In relation, everything's a mountain. They take minors and they so major upon them that they divert their own attention, they divert the attention of the entire military campaign of spiritual warfare from the ultimate victory into the boglands of needless dispute and side issues. Here is what we have got to remember. You have two things before you. You have the ultimate aim. You have the immediate objective. And one must lead to the other. And never lose sight of it. In Acts chapter 6, you have an example of a church that was diverted from its ultimate aim. Over what? People complaining the order in which they were being served at the church suppers. Can you imagine it? A revival was grinding to a halt. The apostles were dragged into the morass of dispute because people were arguing about who would get their dinner first. And this is crazy. This is wickedness. I have seen a church that was moving on in a very, very difficult district in Northern Ireland. Surrounded by hardness and disinterest. And I saw that church beginning to make headway with a flourishing children's work, a tremendous Sunday school work, great evangelistic outreach, people starting to come in, people getting saved. And then it all came tumbling to a halt because some women began to fight and argue about who would place what fruit where when they were decorating, as they do in Britain, the church building to commemorate Harvest Thanksgiving. Now, what does it matter if it's a cabbage there or a turnip there? I would suggest to you, in the great scheme of things, it doesn't matter anything. But people got so involved in the little things like that, where personal feelings become stirred up, where personal pride and prejudice enter in, that like in the book of Acts, they lost sight of the ultimate because they were bogged down in the immediate. You take 1 Corinthians, it's an example of a church falling into both traps at the one time. In the book of Corinthians, you have a church that forgot the ultimate because it was wanting to indulge the fleshly lusts of the immediate. And Paul had to censure them for their sins. And then you had a church that was needlessly divided, fighting over nothing, breaking up into little cliques, sects, and parties. Oh, listen, this is what the Lord said to Joshua, and this is what He says to us. Get your eyes in the great ultimate. Never forget we're going to stand before God. We're going to render an account of the service. We're going to hand up our stewardship. My friend, I would tell you a very good way in which to judge the immediate is how will it appear on the judgment day. So that's the second thing to remember. The third is, verse 5, remember the source of your power. The source of your power is the presence of God. He said, there'll not be any man able to stand before you all the days of your life. Why? Because as I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. The presence of God with him. What a promise to the new commander. I was with Moses. Joshua knew all about that. He had been Moses' minister. He had seen the reality and the vitality of the presence of God with Moses. Now he gets this promise. Joshua, just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. He had seen Moses when the whole nation wanted to kill him. But he saw what the presence of God could do to protect him, to bless him, and to continue to use him. He had seen on the other side of Jordan, as it is now, where the 2.5 tribes at their settlement, he had seen Moses with the presence of God conquer Sihon and Og and take their territories. Now he gets the promise, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. You know, the presence of God as the source of our power is one of the richest streams of teaching in the Word of God. I wish I had time for the whole message on this, to be quite honest. I've often remarked to you that every man's weakness usually comes at the point of his strength. Read your Bible and you'll find how true that is. Every man's failure tends to come at the point of his strength. It's not to say he doesn't feel any place else. It's just you don't expect him to feel where he's strong. But that's usually where he feels. Look at your own life if you're a Christian, and you'll find that is very generally true. That is true of nations as well. And I've often remarked to you that one of the great things, one of the most vital the things that a foreigner sees in this nation is the spirit of the people to be able to find out how to do a thing and go and do it. America didn't become a world leader without being able to find out how to do things and go and do them. It's become a national characteristic, practically, how to do it. And more than most nations, in every area of life, this comes through, how to do it. You look even at American sports. American sports are full of statistics. What is that saying? It's saying we want to break everything down to the nuts and bolts of how to do it in every little area. Now, when you come into the work of God, there are many things you've got to learn how to do and how not to do. But victory in the work of God will never come out of knowing a manual of how-tos. There are seminars for preachers all across the country telling them how to do it. And they're a distraction. Because while I'm all for preachers knowing their job, yet we've got to realize that what gives victory in spiritual work is the presence of God, and you'll never get that out of a book unless it's God's book. Deuteronomy 31, we read in verse 8, "The Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee, He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, nor be dismayed." Again in Deuteronomy 20:4, "The Lord your God is He that goes with you to fight for you against your enemies and to save you." The presence of God is what gives us power and victory. And that's true in personal life. The most immediate and vital thing that a Christian can do as he struggles with his own sin, as he seeks to fulfill the God-given purpose of his life, as he battles all the elements that are against him, is to live in the presence of God, in the conscious fellowship of his Savior. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not." Why? Because there are no enemies out there. That's not the reason. Because you're a big, strong fella. You're well educated. You've read all the manuals. You know all the principles. You know how to go about the work. No, sir, that's not the reason. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." That's the key. Paul summed it all up. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He proved it in his own life. He said at my first answer in Rome at the judgment bar, "No man stood with me." Think of that. There's the lonely figure on trial for his life. He has led unnumbered people to Christ. He has founded churches that are flourishing. He has done a work without parallel in the entire history of the Christian church. He could say of all the apostles, "I labored more abundantly than they all." Yet, standing on trial for his life, there wasn't one person would stand with him. My first answer, "No man stood with me." Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. As I was with Moses. We look back through history. The Lord was with Moses. The Lord was with Joshua. The Lord was with David. The Lord was with Elijah. The Lord was with Peter. The Lord was with Paul. We come down through history. We see great men like Martin Luther standing against the whole world. Life in danger. Nobody, it appeared, could save him. Here I stand. I can do no other. How could he do that? God was with him.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.